So I was trying to rack my brain to think of something, clever to say, but I only got 2 hours of sleep last night, so I got nothing.
Well, welcome to the club. I've got nothing also, John.
Oh, really? This is going to be the best show ever.
It already is the best show ever.
So we're up to episode 92. That's pretty impressive.
Wow.
We still like each other.
Yeah, I think the fact that we take weeks off due to laziness and, I mean, busyness, lets us diffuse the tensions that build up.
Throughout our souls and throughout the country and the world and the universe.
If only the rest of the country could just take a week
Take a
off,
week
John.
off, settle down.
I will say, strongly advise the rest of the country, stay off of social media.
Stay off of social media. Don't watch the
Yeah.
news.
Yeah.
Go to work and not get paid. Something. You just take your mind off
Well,
stuff.
now, hold on. I'm not advising people go to work and not get paid, though I am a writer, so that is
Kind of the
half
way
of
it
what I
is.
do.
Right. Oh, you don't
Welcome
like
to the
this?
club, government employees.
Yeah, good times in the good old USA.
Yeah, hey, don't worry, government employees. That job you're doing for free, they know someone who's going to refer you for a really big job. Welcome to the world of freelance.
I saw a headline yesterday that was not to get sidetracked, but we do. $7 billion in back pay is owed to
Yeah.
the government employees, and people are like, "Well, that's
Yeah.
just enough to build the wall or get it started." Anyway.
Look, they're eventually gonna build a wall. Let's just build a wall now. Like, end of days are coming, man.
It
You think
feels like it.
you think this is gonna last? No way, man. These are the peaceful times.
Yeah, this is the calm before the storm.
I
Everybody
don't
get
even know
your
what's going
helmets
on.
on.
Like,
Get your
everyone's
pitchforks,
voting
your
against
torches.
bills and yeah.
Like, can't we
Get
all
your
just get along?
AR-15s, right?
Right,
Second
yeah.
Amendment.
Let's arm to the teeth and get ready. Hunker down, everybody.
Yeah,
I think we should just
just in
all
case.
walk out of our houses today at noon, or whether it's at noon on the East Coast, 9 a.m. on the West Coast. Just walk outside and give each other a hug. Just start over, reset.
How
It's
many
all good.
deaths do you think would ensue from that?
There'd be quite
Over
a
under
few.
100,000.
I think it would be the purge.
Yeah, it would be a little. I feel a lot of stabbings would happen. Some chokings.
Yeah, wouldn't be good. Would
It's
not be good.
America.
It is. It's a great time.
America's already great.
We have a lot of great things to talk about.
We do,
We had
actually.
an amazing week for baseball fans. So this is episode 92 of Foul Territory. I'm John Semple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And there is no player ever in the history of baseball to wear number 92 on the field. So
Wow.
maybe this is the Reggie White episode. I don't know. So
Go
nobody,
football. I like it.
yeah,
Did
going
you
all
ever
in.
hear that speech that he did? The Reggie White speech. It's basically the most racist speech that anyone's
I
ever done.
probably have heard it.
It's not that. I will say there's some white speeches that have been pretty racist, so never mind that. But in terms of like professional athletes, we'll
It's
say
shady.
the most racist. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he wasn't meaning it in a bad way, right? Just sort of a lot of stereotypes and stuff. And it comes out so terrible.
And he's a
saying
pre he
like,
was a
well,
preacher. How's
yeah.
that,
Oh, well, we don't want to get into that. But I think he was trying to make a point and like trying to be sort of humorous and
Went
helpful. And it
sideways.
was, oof, it just, man, it goes all the wrong ways.
Well, speaking of Hall of Famers,
Yes.
wow. That was a pretty amazing day for a couple of different reasons. One, that Mike Mussina got in. That
Well,
was
let's start with the good news.
the good news. Well, I was going to get to the good news.
First unanimous. Let's
Right.
start. We got to leave with
But
that.
did you watch
First
did you watch
unanimous.
the announcement? So Brian
I
Kenny
like
is
baseball, but come on.
So Brian Kenny is standing next to the head of the Hall of Fame, and he's reading off of this scripted sheet.
That's a Gary Fame, right?
I don't know who he is. Gary Fame, yes. Gary
It's named
Fame
after
in
him.
the fam it's the Fame family.
Yeah.
The he reads all the, you know, the last one was Mariano, and he reads that and never says anything about it being unanimous. And Brian Kenny starts talking with him. He goes, so was it unanimous? And the guy goes, oh, yeah, yeah, it was unanimous. It was like an afterthought to him. And yeah. Everybody who was a reporter and fans, too, were they were hanging on that, waiting for that. And he was like, oh, yeah, yeah, it was unanimous. It was kind of an afterthought for him.
Yeah.
And Brian First Kenny, ever. I think, you know, got an immediate erection in that moment because he was so excited.
Yeah.
And all the talking heads on MLB Network were just that. That was their thing. It was all about the unanimous selection,
which is pretty big deal. It's a big deal for a few reasons, but it's sort of like this: like Griffey should have been unanimous, Chipper mm-hmm. should have been unanimous. It's ridiculous that there were people that like weren't doing it. But you had like this weird confluence of like they had just started getting rid of older writers who don't really follow baseball anymore. So that helped. A lot of those guys were like, well, if Babe Ruth didn't get on the first ballot, then no one is.
Right.
Like, okay, that's good logic. Keeping sticking to errors from the past certainly is the way to go forward into the future. And then he's like, he's basically one of the most likable guys in the sport. Never really crossed anyone in any way whatsoever.
Yeah.
And just, you know, and he was on the most popular team, and he's the best ever at what he did. So it was sort of like the perfect storm for a unanimous thing. Now, for me as a Red Sox fan, it was just like,
whatever.
You know, no, it was like, no, it's a great moment as in baseball. Like, he should have been unanimous. There should be more unanimous guys. I mean, he was always just so terrifying to go up against. And part of the great thrill of 2004 was that the Red Sox went through him to get to the World Series, mm-hmm. and they went through him.
Right.
He blew two saves or gave up two leads or whatever. So he lost one game and mm-hmm. blew one save and another. Like, they had to go through him to win those. Remember, they were down 0-3,
right.
and they had to win four games to get to the World Series, and they did. And two of the games they went through him. It was impressive stuff.
And you remember that vividly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That Bill Miller singles off him to score Dave Roberts from second.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was great. Even Kevin Millar had a hand in it.
Even Kevin Millar.
Yeah. What were they called? The Dirtbags? Is that what their nickname was back then? Was that team? The Dirtbags?
I think you might be thinking about
the next one.
Presidency. Anyway. Sorry.
No,
bless
but
their
it,
hearts.
No, but it was.
Hear about Roger Stone? Roger Stone got arrested.
My wife was telling me as I was walking downstairs. So yeah.
Not sure they needed like 25 fully armed FBI agents to arrest a 65-year-old man who thinks he's the Monopoly man. But
they were prepared.
Fair enough.
They didn't want.
They were prepared.
They didn't want him throwing anything in the blender or microwaving anything. So they were ready.
I mean, he does dress like a Bond villain a little bit. So maybe they were thinking that there was going to be some shenanigans there, or like booby traps or, you know.
Could have been.
The guy with the metal teeth was going to be there defending him.
Jaws would be
there. Odd Job was going to be there defending him.
Yeah, could have been.
So better safe than sorry. I've seen how those films work out. You got to be prepared.
Yeah, but you always have a chance to get away, though. That's the main thing with the early Bond films. It's like, I'm going to kill you with a laser that takes 45 minutes.
Yeah.
To get from your feet to your crotch.
Let me ask you
Good
this,
day,
John.
Mr.
If
Bond.
You were going to murder someone who was, let's say, for ostensibly like a year, had been your nemesis, if you were going to murder him, would you want to murder him quickly or slowly?
I think it would probably be the slower thing because that would be, mm-hmm. you know, enjoyable.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't leave the room. You know, type of things like,
right.
here's your death is upon you.
Yeah,
in the next 2 hours,
it.
I'm leaving.
You can't enjoy it if you're not in the room, right?
Right.
That's the problem with the slow death.
Right.
Unless he's filming it and is going to watch it on like DVR later so he can rewind it, play it back, that sort of thing.
At the very least, you know, put him in a room that's locked. You know, don't let him just get away.
And not to come across like a total psychopath, but I think of all the villains that are out there, the ones that do the I'm going to ruin your life
mm-hmm.
revenge thing, that's definitely like the stuff I admire. Because murder is such a base thing, you know?
Right. It's like, over and done.
It's primal and then it's over. And then, But if you could ruin somebody's life, take away everything that they love and leave them alive, basically it's like to the pain, right? Mm-hmm. In The Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
Your ears remain intact so that you can hear every scream. That's what I want, but on a personal level.
Okay, remind me to never cross you.
Consider this a PSA of sorts.
A warning, John. This is a
nemesis
warning.
Of mine.
No, but so one of the things that was that seemed like it was a little bit of a surprise, and it happened very quickly when they were doing some of this early polling, and they had like 57%, was how many votes Roy Halladay got.
Yeah.
And they were surprised, you know, they were like, well, he should get in. And he got over 90% of the vote. So it wasn't like he should get in. He got in. It was a slam dunk.
I feel like he was a great pitcher, but I don't know that he was that great. But the death,
right,
as awful as it sounds, the death is, I think, gave him a boost.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
There's a theme in this show.
Increased his voting.
There was that sympathy, empathy vote there for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, Edgar Martinez.
Man, he was great until he wasn't. And then.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going in with no.
I did hear that. Yeah.
No team, which I think is weird. He was on the Blue Jays for
a couple of years. No, he was with the Phillies longer, I think.
No, just 4 years.
Really?
Yeah, no, it's like he was there that, like, I think 4.5. Like, he was there that 1 year where he was like, oh, my God, this guy's amazing. One of the greatest trades of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Phillies are just, and then they won the World Series. And then he kind of just, I think the next year was good. And then he kind of just fell off the table. It was kind of bad, actually.
Yeah.
Injury or whatever.
It ended quickly.
Yeah, it ended quickly. Well, Jesus, John.
So to speak, yeah.
Yes. But maybe that's just his style, you know?
Right. He's going out with a flourish.
Going out with a flourish. End things quickly. Anyway, so, but now his wife is saying that there's going to be no team on it, which I think is weird.
Because she couldn't make the decision for him?
Well, the article I read said that the last time he was in Toronto visiting for whatever, he was like, no, I'm going to be a Toronto Blue Jay in the Hall of Fame.
Oh. That's a slap in the face of the Blue Jays.
3 or 4 years ago. Yeah, but you know, I mean, can you really blame the family? They don't want to be associated with Canada. Who does?
Eh?
They don't want it. Maybe they don't want to get taxed.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah.
They were like, we made $80 million in Canada, which is like $40 American.
But I was happy for Edgar Martinez.
Yeah, Edgar Martinez was great. 10th year. Surged up past the voting, one of the greatest hitters of all time.
Yeah,
just really an exceptional and underappreciated hitter because he also didn't hit as many home runs as other great hitters, but always with the doubles, always with the doubles.
Yep, and I think he had something like a .417 average against Mariano Rivera.
Oh, yeah.
They had statistics for him against all of the pitchers that he went in with, and he did well against all three of them.
Yeah. So who was he doing bad against? I guess that's the question.
I don't know.
Ryan Dempster.
Probably. Everybody has that one guy that gets them, and when you hear who that is, you're like, really? That was your guy? You had trouble with him?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing about Rivera that you really, you know, when you think about it is he had one pitch, just one pitch.
Yes.
Everybody knew the pitch that was coming and you still, he broke so many bats and you couldn't read it. You couldn't time it.
You couldn't
tell where it was going to break. Yeah, it was tough pitch. Well, it was one of those things too that he said when he was in spring training this 1 year and he was just playing catch, all of a sudden the ball was spinning a certain way. It was like a gift from God because he hadn't done that before. And he's very religious and he says he won't go to a Metallica show because that's not the kind of music he listens to, even though he appreciates who they are. And he's met them, and he said that I listen to Christian music, and that wouldn't be my thing.
Right.
Because Bob Costas asked him if he had ever been to a Metallica show. That was his one question after Mariano was elected into the Hall of Fame is, you know, have you ever been to a Metallica show or will you be going to one? And he's like, no, I don't listen to that kind of music.
I get asked that pretty regularly.
Do you?
Yeah. And it's not even my theme song.
Oh, that's good.
But it would be weird if he had like a Christian-based theme song, wouldn't it?
It would be. Enter God Man.
Enter God Man?
I don't know. Yeah. So Messina getting in.
Here's the thing about Messina. If you look at his cumulative numbers, it makes sense. He looks like a Hall of Famer, but I don't remember thinking he was a Hall of Famer when he was pitching.
And he had his best, his only 20-win season was the season that he retired. He and Sandy Koufax.
Forget about the wins, man. Let's talk about like how he dominated players. Oh. I just felt like he didn't really – I didn't feel like that. Like, I mean, Bill Simmons once made this point about him. Was just like, did anyone ever think like, oh, Mussina's coming to town. We should try to see that game.
No, not really.
I never thought that. But I've thought that about Roger Clemens. I've thought that about Greg Maddux. Tom Glavine.
The thing is, when Maddux pitched, it was like, I really don't want to go see him live because the game will be over in an hour and 45 minutes. And like, why bother? Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And if you're in LA, you get there in the third inning.
Right.
And you're out of there in the sixth. Talking about a 20 minute game.
Right. Now, he was the master of give me the ball and, you know, four pitches per batter. And, you know, he was really good. Really
I think
good.
I mentioned this once before, but I saw him and Ismael Valdez pitch against each other one day, and it was like an hour and 40 minutes, and the both of them were just humping back and forth, just like ball, pitch. It was really amazing.
Yeah.
Of course, I was there in the first inning.
That was good.
But that's just me because I'm a cheapo. Like, I want to maximize my dollar.
Yeah. Whenever I went to a ball game, and you know, if I go to any in the States again, or anywhere for that matter, I'm there an hour and a half before game time. I get there early. I like to see a little bit of batting practice. I walk around the concourse. I get a hot dog. I enjoy the whole experience. It's great. Yeah. I'm not one of those show up late. So I just don't get that. Show up late and then sit there and talk about something completely unrelated to baseball. I don't like those people. We've had this conversation before.
Yeah, it's all right. Worth having again.
Yeah.
Press the issue.
So the Messina thing, I think, is one of those everybody has a chance when they look at those numbers. You know, they're kind of like, I don't have to win a Cy Young. I don't want to have to get 300 wins. I just have to be consistently good, you know, for a long time. And he that was his career. I think he finished in the Cy Young voting 9 times but never won. He and Sandy Koufax, the only players to win 20 games in their final season.
I don't care about the wins, John.
I know you don't care.
Stop with these wins, man.
Wins matter.
They don't matter.
Well, apparently they don't, because now you could win 10 games and win a Cy Young Award, so it's out the window.
Wins it's about don't metrics. Matter. It's about how you pitched. If you pitched 300 innings and win 10 games, that's better than a pitcher that pitches 180 innings and pitches and wins 20 games. That's just better.
Right. Well,
that's 120 more innings.
It's a good thing for the sport because, you know, going back 25, 30 years, well, even 20 years, 15 years, if you didn't see it, it didn't happen.
That's true.
So it was all about, you know, the West Coast or the East Coast bias, the West Coast. Nobody saw the game. So therefore, you know, those players, who's that guy? Yeah. Never
saw him. The problem with the win is that there's no viable replacement for it statistically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't say quality start because no one, first of all, that just takes too long to say. That's way too many syllables for a stat.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't work. Like, RBIs, home runs, runs, batting average. Even slugging percentage is long, but OPS is short.
Yeah. The thing about the quality start is that it's going to be a moving target. It's going to go from 6 innings to 5 innings to 4 innings before you know it.
Right.
So that's
because it feels arbitrary, right? Yeah. It feels like, well, why is it 6? Why does 6 innings make it a quality start? Why is 3 earned runs?
Yeah, because, you know,
if my fantasy baseball team, if a guy goes out and gives up 3 runs in 6 innings, he just lowered me in the standings.
Right. Yeah, you know, go back 15, 20 years, a quality start was, you know, 9 innings. You know,
it was 2 games. You throw 2 games in the same day, that's a quality start.
That's a quality start. Yeah. It's crazy that there's nobody out there pitching complete games. You know, if you have three, you lead the league.
Yeah. You
know, that's nuts. So I guess now the big talk is about who gets in next year, because there's really only one slam dunk.
Right. Jeter's a slam dunk. Will he get unanimous?
No.
I don't know. I think there's some people that don't like him. I think there's some people that are going to be like, eh.
Well, if there's any female reporters that got a gift bag.
Exactly.
They're out.
Or male reporters. Don't
don't discriminate.
Don't discriminate, John. We don't
hate.
Don't judge. Yeah.
So that,
maybe someone's like, I don't like what he's doing with the Marlins. I'm not voting for him this year.
Who does that help that it's such a small class? Or only one?
Well, I mean, it's basically him. There's no one else. There's no other first ballot guy next year that's even got a chance.
Right.
So then we start talking about, like, will Schilling keep his mouth shut for the year long enough? Because Schilling's better than Mussina, especially if you factor in, like, the playoff stuff. Like, Mussina has, like, no playoff record, and Schilling has two World Series and some of the most memorable moments in World Series history.
Right. Premeditated or otherwise.
John, look, this whole... Did you hear about this Deflategate kid?
No.
Some kid in Kentucky or whatever won a science fair with his thing of, is Tom Brady a cheater?
Uh-huh.
And basically the science he did was he had his mom and sister throw footballs that were at different deflation levels.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to throw under inflated balls or whatever, deflated balls, further than fully inflated balls.
Oh. Wow.
And this passed for science.
Wow. That's
and
just mom
and
it
wasn't
sister.
Like the guy did it as like a, this wasn't like a kid doing it as like a lark. Like, kid's angry. He's being interviewed. He's like, Tom Brady's a cheater.
Oh boy.
Like, wait a minute. What is this? I'm like, who is this? Bill Nye? This is the kind of science I expect from
Faux
Bill
science?
Nye. What's going on here?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't hear about that kid. That's
anyway. So yeah. Anyway, yeah, maybe it was ketchup on his sock. Maybe it was bleeding sutures.
Who knows?
Guy pitched a great game, part of a team that broke
now,
an 86-year curse, blah, 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 blah.
And if he was out there on the mound like Trevor Bauer was with the blood dripping off his hand, and he went through the game and said, no. So Trevor Bauer would have went down in baseball lore if he pitched a complete game with the blood dripping down. He needed an IV in the sixth inning.
He may go down in baseball lore as it
for
is.
For a lot of other reasons.
But again, off the field, right?
Right.
And, like, these are both guys who are, we'll say, conservative. And that doesn't play very well in the current media structure. The current media. Funny, I was reading Randall Stevens' article on our site about the strike and his point about, a lot of writers calling for saying like, the players deserve more and there's going to be a strike. And like, the point is like a lot of these writers are very liberal and have sort of these socialist ideas, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with having those ideas. I have some of those as well. Maybe not as many as some of these writers, but these are the same guys
writers.
Who... Yeah, these are the same people who are like saying, yeah, no, the front offices should be smarter about how they spend their money. And now when the front offices are smarter and they're not giving $80 million to an AJ Pollock, they're giving, $55 or $60 million, then now there's a problem. Now, you're being smarter about how you read analytics. Okay, well, now there's a problem because the players are not getting as much money.
Right.
But
analytics are ruining the game.
Yeah, analytics now. Yeah, the same people who are trumping for, pardon the bun, more stumping for. I think it's
right.
Stumping for analytics are now like, well, now analytics are making it so that some players are getting paid less.
Right, and like Evan Longoria's rant is that young players, you better keep an eye on this. This is all about your future. As he sits back on his fat happy contract where he's has
on his $23 million a year. For jack squat.
Right.
For being a league, not even a league average player. Like, for being a replacement level player who can barely stay healthy. This guy's complaining about the current system?
And I see a transition that's going on is that the old model, if you're in your 30s right now, you're kind of irked by what's going on because the shift is moving now towards younger players getting right. longer term contracts that aren't as much money. Which if I'm 24 years old and I sign an extension and I'm getting paid $80 million over the next 6 years, I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to wait until you're 30 years old to sign a, you know, a long-term contract where you're going to be unproductive for, you know, two-thirds of it.
Yeah.
I think it's smart.
I mean, I think it's smart for both sides, but I think you get this situation where they're like, well, we want to go to free agency. We want to get the max contract. But like, mm-hmm. I don't think there are enough teams out there that want to throw money. And again, we've talked about this before, like the GM's reputation is on the line. Ben Charrington from the Red Sox won a World Series mm-hmm. in 2013, and then a year and a half later was let go, mainly because he signed Hanley Ramirez and Pablo Sandoval. Mm-hmm. I almost said Pablo Escobar, which would have been the bad. Worst signing in baseball history. But Pablo Sandoval is very close. And maybe they should have gotten him on some cocaine, lose some of that weight.
Right. He's svelte now. Isn't he?
That's, he gets on the model diet, right?
Right. And he's no longer productive when he's skinny. So he's like, I got to eat those burgers.
I think now he's like a slightly above replacement level player that he went back to the Giants. And maybe he just likes playing with the Giants more. He just maybe didn't like playing for the Red Sox. I don't know.
He likes
weird
the,
signing.
The West
but that
Coast
cost though. Charrington his job.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who had won the World Series a year and a half before. A year and a half!
Right.
But it was the third World Series for the Red Sox.
Yeah,
so
he was like,
a deal.
He rode in on others building the franchise up. Yeah. So what's the latest with Manny and Bryce? Well, we got any good news?
The thing that bothers me the most about this thing is we keep pushing our podcast back a day or so due to scheduling stuff that we have going on. And I keep thinking like, oh, maybe one of them will sign
That's
and then we can talk about it. I've been thinking
that
for a month, easily a month. And
it's
still,
like, yeah. We'll push it back a day. That'll work out fine because maybe we'll get the news.
Yeah. Probably the Dodgers are out on Harper now that they signed AJ Pollock, which mm-hmm. I think is a very good signing. They needed a right-handed bat. He goes to center field where he's a plus defender. So you can kind of like stop sending Bellinger and Chris Taylor out there,
mm-hmm.
which is not
legit.
I mean, Bellinger's
center fielder,
a solid outfielder. He's a solid outfielder, but he's not like a very good center fielder. And Pollock is a very good center fielder. Mm-hmm. Plus, so you're basically swapping Puig for Pollock, which I think is an improvement against left-handed hitters, but probably overall kind of a wash. But then they also get that young prospect, Jeter Downs. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's a good move.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm curious to see what else
saved
the Dodgers
a lot
do.
Of
apparently
money,
they're still
sure.
still in on Real Muto,
mm-hmm.
I hear. But, again, I still think the Rockies need to get Real Muto, man. It's such a perfect fit.
You were so excited last week about
they
that.
They have so many prospects that just – they have two very good first base prospects.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't – And then they have first base. Then they have all these guys who can play first base. So what are you going to do with all that?
Well, I guess the news was out of L.A. that the Dodgers have a 19-year-old prospect, catching prospect that the Marlins are all excited about. So now they're that's the headlines now is that the Dodgers seem to be the front runner.
Well, that would be the trade, right? It's Keibert Ruiz, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Keibert. And then the Dodgers also have Will Smith, not
the
actor. The movie star Will mm-hmm. Smith. And
that
also
would be
not
impressive.
The pitcher for the Giants, the lefty pitcher. It would be impressive if Will Smith was just like, you know what? Career change.
Right, baseball.
Now I'm a top prospect for the Dodgers.
only in L.A.
The Dodgers have two top 100 catching prospects. So I assume at least one goes to maybe him plus Alex Verdugo, and then you got yourself a great catcher.
Yeah, we'll see. And so in a trade like that, so Verdugo would probably be like, as much as I hate the idea of leaving this system, I love the idea of playing every day.
Yeah, I mean, he'll play every day for the Marlins.
Yeah, that's when you're a young player, that's not a bad thing. I remember when Brinson was traded to the Marlins. He was all excited, and then he was a total flop last year.
That didn't work out well.
Just
and then Jock Peterson has apparently been on the trading block too, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what happened with that. There were some rumors he was going to the Braves, but then the Braves signed Nick Markakis.
Which was a strange move.
But for almost nothing, for like $4 million. Yeah, that was the middle class. The middle class is gone. Yeah. Like, what's Nick Markakis going to do? Say no, and then who's going to pay him? No one.
Right. There's nowhere else to go.
Who else wants to pay $6 million to a guy when they can just bring up a minor leaguer for $500,000? It would be less productive.
So now the AJ Pollock signing is kind of a big deal in the sense of the dominoes falling, because now it looks like Harper only has two choices: back to the Nationals or the Phillies. Unless there's this mysterious
still the White Sox are still White Sox are still.
But there seems to be like the White Sox are like, we're all about Manny.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling there's going to be a total curveball in this. Like the Padres are going to sign Machado. That would be interesting. That would solve their third base problem. But
the prospects they have. That's not true. They have what's his name? Hudson Potts is a.
There you go. I never heard that name ever mentioned anywhere. So that's good. I'm educated.
Yeah, but I think he's still a couple years away. But yeah, I'm all for like. The Padres should we've talked about this before. Take some of these prospects, trade them, group them up, package them up to whoever needs them.
Right.
Bring in veterans with lots of, control, right? Mm-hmm. 3-4 years of control. Trade away some of these hot prospects. They got too many hot prospects, mm-hmm. too many outfielders. Come on.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have, but then you have to deal.
It's a great problem
to have. You know,
call
season.
Jerry DePoto.
Yeah. Well, apparently they're saying,
what's the problem?
Yeah. There was something that I was reading too about maybe the Mariners are one of the mystery teams in on Machado.
Okay.
So if that was the case, that means Jerry's got to deal Seager in some way.
Okay.
So where's he going? Or maybe he goes to first base.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But the Mariners aren't done. Obviously, they signed Ichiro. That was the big news.
They're just getting started.
Yeah. They're
is this like a Benjamin Button thing?
Well, the thing that was funny with Ichiro, too, is people are like, well, you just signed the contract so that you can, you know, play in the series over in Japan. He's like, no, I signed the contract because I intend to play the whole season.
Right.
At 45. It's like, I hope the magic, I don't know where the magic's coming from, but he's not going to be a full-time player or even a bench player. He's just not an option, really. Is one of the things that I remember reading about him is that he used to, and I had seen this in some of the games that I had gone to when you're there early enough. He puts on a show with batting practice. He hits laser home runs.
Right.
And people are like, well, he could be a home run hitter if he wanted to. I was like, okay, now that he's in the speed part of his game is gone, let's see it. And it never happened.
Yeah.
So it's like, there was the other debate, too, that I started seeing on some of the social media. And I don't remember, one of the shows was, is Ichiro a first, or he's a possible unanimous Hall of Famer?
Oh, he definitely won't be unanimous.
And why is that?
Well, he just won't be unanimous. That's all.
Well,
he doesn't have all the things that someone like Rivera has. Like, if Jeter won't be unanimous, then Ichiro won't be unanimous.
No,
he'll be in.
Yeah, well, it's first ballot for sure. But I thought it was interesting that people were fighting for the reason why he should be a unanimous decision.
Oh, I see.
You know, type of thing. But I think if he had played his full career in the major leagues, he may have had a whole different set of numbers that would have been pretty darn impressive. Yeah.
Well, that's his thing, is they want to, I think with these guys, it's like the Warren Moon thing, right? Like they factor it in.
Yeah.
They factor it in, but it still is not the same thing. Like, it's not quite. He'll go in. He'll go in first or second ballot easy.
Oh, I think he's a slam dunk. First ballot Hall of Famer,
Well, especially now that things are finally thinning out, with we've had a couple of four, and then the thing with the 10-year limit knocking guys out. Finally got McGriff off there. Just careful. If you see Jim Tracy winds up you know, floating down a river.
It's the crime dog got to him.
Fred McGriff. Crime dog got to him. Jim Tracy single-handedly killed that guy's career.
Yeah. Poor crime dog.
I'm just saying. I like Fred McGriff.
Oh, he was great.
Quality guy. Great. Does those Tom Emanski commercials.
No, he was a quiet superstar.
Yeah.
That not a lot of people would label him as a superstar, but he was a superstar. Yeah. He was one of those people that just kind of flew under the radar and had great stats. And you go back and you look at the career, you're like, wow, yeah, these were really impressive. But I just remember him, a sweet swing. I just love to watch him at the plate. Just a great swing. So what else we got here? Did we talk about Bryant and Longoria last week?
No, I don't know.
So. Maybe. Okay. But I know
we talked about it this week.
They were aggravated over Harper and Machado not being signed yet. And it's a travesty that the two of the best players in the game can't find a home.
I mean, I hate to break it to these guys, but, you know, these players could sign contract offers that they're given.
Right. They don't have to wait until, you know, someone
they don't have to wait
up.
Until they get a bigger deal.
Yeah, because $175 million is nothing.
Yeah, look what happened to Yasmani Grandal when he waited for a bigger deal.
Right. And
these guys have offers. They have been given offers. It's not that there is no one wants to hire them.
Well, what was the offer that the Nationals made to Harper was 10 years, $300 million.
That's the alleged offer, yes.
That's a pretty good offer.
I would take it. If it was me, I would take it. But I don't know if it's one of those things where they're just like, no, it needs to be the Giancarlo Stanton deal. And if that's what it needs to be, if it needs to be the biggest in the history of the game and two people are trying to pull that off, you see, like, that's the problem here is it's not just one guy out there trying to get the biggest contract in the history of the game. You have two guys. Well, I hate to break it to him. One of them is not going to have the biggest contract in the history of the game, guaranteed.
Right.
And it's just teams are smarter. Teams don't want to, be the guy that put out that contract and then, you know, someone tears a meniscus and then you got 3 years of, then you got Albert Pujols. No one wants to sign the next Albert Pujols.
Right. You know, even though they're both, you know, still young.
And they're great players and they're most likely going to return any investment put in on them.
$175 million is sweet. I mean, what's wrong with $175? It's not $300. That was the number he threw out there. And that's, I guess there's a little bit of a pride thing there. It's like, well, I thought my worth would be in the 300. You know, it's like, let's throw out the 300 and maybe we'll get 280. And then the real offers are 175. That might be a little bit of a sting. You know,
and maybe the most years they've been offered is 7 instead of, because big part of the 300 is the 10-year thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not every team is. Maybe there is literally no team that wants to give out a 10-year contract. And maybe it's collusion, or maybe they're just looking at the 10-year contracts going, well, none of those have worked out.
No, none of them.
Why should
have.
I think that this one will?
Yeah. None of them really have. You know, the value is the only time those are worth it is if the player stays with a long-term team. So you're like, we're paying you for when we didn't pay you. Type of thing, and you were a superstar when you were young and you were making scratch, and now we're paying you back for that. That makes sense to me. But when you sign a 10-year deal and you're 30 years old, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. You know, Robinson Cano. This doesn't make sense. So let's see what else. Oh, so the Sonny Gray trade, that was an interesting trade.
Yeah.
Because it was, and when you kind of hear all of the little pieces too, it's like it was a sign and trade deal. You know, they had to get him inked before the deal was done. And people probably were like, why would he go to the Reds? Who would want to go there? Well, apparently his dad's favorite team was the Reds. And the pitching coach that he had when he was in college at Vanderbilt is now the pitching coach with the Reds. So he's kind of there's great chemistry between the two of them, and that was a big part of it. So, you know.
Yeah. Get over to the National League, get away from Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Yankee Stadium was his big bugaboo. Away from Yankee Stadium last year, he was a solid pitcher. Like, he was a quality pitcher.
But the Cincinnati
Park. I like to see the Reds making these moves. Like, they're trying to throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and see what sticks. They still don't have a center fielder. They have one of the best prospects in baseball, Nick Senzel, and he's a third baseman, but they already have a third baseman in Eugenio Suarez. I just like saying that name, to be honest with you.
He's good.
They have a shortstop. They have a second baseman. They have a first baseman. And they have Puig and Jesse Winker in left and right field. And Matt Kemp off the bench, I guess, or whatever. And then they someone in center field, I guess. Maybe Nick Senzel. Like, sure, why not make the third baseman play center field? Sure.
When you kind of run through it like that, that's a pretty decent team.
It's a solid lineup.
Yeah.
It's a solid lineup. And the pitching is a mess, though. The bullpen has some nice pieces, but Raisel Iglesias is on the way down numerically, so maybe if he gets a bump back up.
They'll
and the starting pitching is the real mess for them. So I think that's why you see them like going after someone like Sonny Gray. Like, let's just get someone in here. And then maybe Luis Castillo can pitch more like he did in the second half than he did in the first half. And then you got a couple of quality starters there. You start looking like, oh. But here's the thing. That ballpark, that's a hitter's park. So you gotta, you have to have the bullpen and the starting team, the starting staff to control the offense production of the other team.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be a tough division. I'm not saying these guys are going to be 500 next year, but they're inching towards it.
Yeah. So it's making that, pieces that trade whole if division it doesn't go
great.
Is much more competitive now
with
everything that's gone on. So, it'll be interesting to see how the Sonny Gray, what version of Sonny Gray shows up in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So big, huge signing for the Rangers as Drubal Cabrera.
Another guy who took like $3 or $4 or $5 million to play in the major leagues. Like obviously it's a lot of money, but no middle class.
Yeah, but he was one of those players a few years ago that was asking for ridiculous numbers. It's like, dude, you're not that good of a shortstop. And he wound up playing second base for the Mets.
Yeah.
So it was, but he's on the downside of his career, and he's looking for somebody that'll pay him to play, and I guess he'll be in every day, or is he going to be a?
Well, I mean, again, the problem is that he's going to play third. Apparently, that's what they're saying is that he's going to replace Beltre over at third. Which I thought, why don't they put Joey Gallo over there?
Yeah,
I thought Gallo was a solid third baseman, but maybe they don't think he is. And I don't know what that Rangers team is doing. They're acquiring a lot of players, and for what?
Yeah,
and I mean, I know they need pitchers. So it kind of makes sense. Like, they don't even have minor leaguers to bring up, not whose careers they wouldn't be ruining by bringing up.
Mm-hmm.
So you see a lot of like, oh, that guy's still in the league? That's like, that should be their the name of their rotation.
Yeah, so one of the interesting stories of the week was the Chris Bryant commentary with Ryan Dempster at the Cubs Caravan, or whatever it was, their first gathering.
The Cubs Cabal.
Was that? Yeah. So I think Dempster asks him a question about being traded to St. Louis, and he totally disses St. Louis. Just like, I would never want to play there.
It's
boring. I hate playing there. And it's because they really razz him and get on him there, obviously, because he plays for the Cubs. But, it's like most people would say, well, St. Louis is a great baseball town. Why wouldn't I want to play St. Louis? Packed house every night. These people know the game, and it's like, it's great. But he disses them. And so Molina.
Well, maybe some people would say, though, what else would you be doing in St. Louis?
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
I'm just saying, they're like in the last 8 years, they are in third place in attendance.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Cardinals, the Giants, and then the Angels. So you have L.A., New York, Bay Area, and St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, St. Louis's attendance is high because they put a quality team on the field, and there's literally nothing else to do.
But yeah,
I mean, how many times can you go stand under that arch and be like,
wow, it's like, wow, I've seen
that's
this
an
before.
Arch.
But Yadier Molina got all...
Yes.
Agitated by the comments.
He got all yada-eared.
Yeah. And he kind of ripped into Bryant.
Yes.
So that's good fodder, though, for that heated rivalry anyway. So that's...
I will say, I thought he should have gone maybe with a different angle than, like, you're not allowed to disrespect the city, other cities.
Right. That's not right.
I'm not sure that that's true. I don't know if that's even in the unwritten rules. I think that actually is something you're absolutely allowed to do.
But I also think...
But maybe just don't expect the Cardinals to offer him a contract
right.
if he hits free agency. Like,
right.
I think that's kind of the thing.
Right. It's just kind of like the how much the... who was it? The was the Phillies. Bautista is like the Phillies. Like, yeah, we're never going to sign you here. I think it was either Phillies or the Orioles or somebody that was like they hated him for whatever.
The Rangers.
Reasons. The Rangers. Was it the Rangers because
yeah.
of the
yeah.
the flip, the bat flip?
Because of the fight.
Oh, the fight with Rougned Odor. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, so and he bat flipped someone too. That's right. And they were pissed. There was some other team pissed off about that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like we're not going to sign him. Screw him. So another interesting story: Juan Pierre doesn't get enough votes to stay on the ballot, so he consoles himself by becoming a minor league outfielder coordinator for the Marlins.
Yeah. Yes. Hopefully, not teaching them any throwing.
Speed.
Teach them to be fast, then good. Maybe he's a nutrition expert, or
he should teach them to bunt because he was a great bunter.
If you could teach players to maximize the bunt, especially with the shifts now.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I think it's just sort of a symbolic position, right? No one thinks Juan Pierre has any particular insight into outfielding, right?
Yeah, but there are guys who wind up being really good instructors and coaches that were not great players.
True.
So there's a handful of those people.
Now, question for you: Juan Pierre, is he Spanish or French?
I think he's Sprench. I don't know.
Basically, his name is John Peter.
John Peter, right? Pierre, yeah, yeah. What is going on there?
I'm just saying.
JP, that's what
make
we,
up your mind.
That's what we called him back in the day. JP, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds very American.
It does.
Yeah, you anglicized him.
So there's a note here. The MLB is proposing going back to the 15-day disabled list. That would be a good thing.
Yes, that would be
for fantasy
in direct
fans
response
everywhere.
To the Dodgers. I don't want to say nonsense, but the Dodgers shenanigans, where they've been maximizing the 10-day DL because 10 days is a lot easier to deal with in terms of player availability.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of manipulated that system to rest pitchers and
it totally messed with us in the fantasy world.
Yeah,
it was
a
pain in the butt.
Brutal.
It's like, oh yeah, you got a hangnail, 10-day DL.
But in a way, maybe it was good because it was like, look, this guy who was probably going to be benched for a week anyway because of a hangnail.
Mm-hmm.
Now you know for sure he's out for 10 days.
Right, and you don't have to worry about it. But then you got to fill the hole.
You take the bad, John.
And it seemed like every single time it happened, it was on, Monday. Someone goes on the DL. I'm like, really? I didn't get a chance to replace him. By the time next Sunday rolls around, why bother? He'll be back on Wednesday. Right.
And then he might be back on Wednesday. So should you find a replacement the next week?
Right.
It's tough, man. It's a hard knock life. Being a fantasy baseball owner is hard.
It is.
People think it's easy. Yeah. People think it's just a game. But you know what? They're right.
It is a child's game.
It is. It's a child's game about a child's game.
It is. We actually talked about simulating seasons last week.
That's right.
And staying up all night because it's amazing. Yeah. You got to try it, people.
I want to get that. I want to get that championship in 2038.
Right. With the player that I created.
Yeah. I drafted this guy in the draft.
Right. And he goes out as a Hall of Famer when his career's over. Yeah.
When he retires, will he be a Hall of Famer?
Right. No, I did that one time. Went through the whole system thing, and this guy played for 21 years. And as soon as he was available on the ballot, he was a first ballot Hall of Famer. Of course he was.
Put that on your goddamn CV, man. Put that on your resume.
Yeah, he had 900 career home runs. Of course he's a Hall of Famer. Come on. So let's see, the government shutdown is impacting baseball. And it may keep the Red Sox from visiting the White House.
Right. Or maybe the Red Sox are just hoping that they'll have that as an excuse.
So they don't have to go, Because Cora was wasn't he? Cora was late.
I think they should go. I think Cora, especially because he's Puerto Rican, should go there and talk to Donald Trump.
And say,
I'm telling you, you guys can get whatever you want from this guy. All he cares about is looking good.
Right.
Kim Kardashian got criminal justice reform happening.
Right.
Kim Kardashian. Literally anyone that goes there and is nice to him will get what they want.
Yeah, Clemson got burgers. It was cool.
I'm telling you, that was amazing.
That was a,
that was one of, honestly, it's one of the greatest moments in this presidency.
Awesome. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was a,
There have been few great moments with this presidency. Very few. But that display of burgers, my favorite part about it at the end was when he was talking about, like, yeah, we had thousands of burgers stacked up a mile high. And then he was fact checked.
Oh, gosh, really?
Yes. Some newspaper decided they needed to fact check whether they had thousands of burgers and whether they were, in fact, stacked
a mile high.
Yeah.
I'm sure Trump was had a secret stash delivered just for him, too. So yeah. There was a.
This is important journalism, John.
Waiting in the West Wing.
These are the guardians of the truth.
Right. Good times. Something to talk
Editor's
about
note.
Every week.
The
errors,
sure. Half of what we put in this article turned out to be incorrect. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. Sorry we got you all worked up again.
So the last, this doesn't work for me. You know,
yeah.
Miller Park sounds good.
Sounds
is
a great
it's
name
perfect.
For a park.
Absolutely. And it's Milwaukee, you know, blue collar.
Is it
town.
Too perfect though? Is that the problem?
Maybe. Is it going to be AFI Park? Is it going to be American Family Insurance Park?
Right.
That just doesn't work for
right.
me.
So, they've taken over 15-year deal, American Family Insurance. So, we're talking about AFI Park. AmFam Inn Park? AmerFamil Insure Park?
That doesn't
the
work.
The Fam?
What are you going to call it? The Fam? We're going to the Fam?
The Fam? We're going out to the Fam? Going out to the AmFam?
I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah. Make American Family Again Insurance? MAFA? I like Miller Park better, but you know what? They don't pay, you don't stay. So
right.
That's how it goes.
Just is it just doesn't sound good. You know, it's money, and that's all that matters. But it just doesn't sound right.
Yeah,
people will probably be protesting, and it's always going to be Miller Park to me. Always going to.
Well, maybe this is part of that Medicare for All thing. Everyone there, anyway. Well, they may not actually have insurance, but they'll be at the American Family Insurance Park.
It'll make you feel good. Right. Feel good insurance. Okay, that wraps up to this week's headlines. Now we get to move on to starting nine. And, you know, big news out of Los Angeles on Tuesday morning, the Oscar nominations.
That's right.
So there was all the hoopla that surrounds that. And
kind of a disappointing year, I'm going to be honest with you.
And I think it's a disappointing year because there was none of the, I shouldn't say none, but there was, you know, those the movies that are nominated, and I have to say I don't think I've seen any of them.
Yeah. Well, that's just because you're at the movies watching, like, Meatballs just came out down there.
Right, three. And it's been running for 3 weeks straight. No, but I think what I like about it, though, is that it's a wide open field in almost every category. There's no, like, slam dunks in any category. So it could be one of those nights where you're like, wow, that was a shocker.
Right. Or it could be one of those nights where I'm like, oh, this video game is fun to play instead of watching the Oscars.
Wow, Roma won all 10 nominations. Boring. So we'll see. We'll see.
That's a beautiful film, though.
I have not seen it yet. Actually,
it's a beautiful film.
I watched the opening 5 or 6 minutes, and that opening sequence is incredible. The cinematography, the way that was shot, was just really, really good.
Yeah, I won't say that it's great storytelling because I don't think that it's that. But it is a beautiful film,
mm-hmm. And it's black and white, and it looks beautiful in black and white, which is it's good.
It's gorgeous and deep and intricate filmmaking stuff that. Like, I don't want to say unprecedented, but, like, very little precedent. And so I can absolutely appreciate it that way. But the storytelling was a little like, is anything ever going to happen here?
Right. And I know that's the knock for some people was the first 45, 50 minutes. You're kind of like, should I keep watching? And they said, but the payoff is in the final, you know, third of the film.
I don't know if I would necessarily say it was a payoff.
Okay. Yeah. But we'll see. We shall see. So what do we got starting nine? Nine players
starting nine.
With best film nominee names. So there was, was there 10 films or nine films this year?
There were eight.
There were eight.
So we're going National League lineup here.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good.
No, the pitcher, we'll just use a pinch hitter when the pitcher's spot comes up. Here we go. Starting eight. Or it's like it's a beer league softball team where the right fielder didn't show up. So you got to take the second baseman, put him out in right field, and hope that the lefties don't tear it apart. Anyway, here we go. Easy one. Hunter Green book.
Okay. Yes.
We talked about Roma. What about Sergio Roma?
Yeah. Slam dunk.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Denard Black Panther.
Okay.
Black Panther. Uh-huh. Strange best film. For us, first superhero movie to be a best film,
right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exciting.
Black Lanceman McCullers.
Okay, Black Lanceman. Yeah,
yeah,
that's good.
Marcus Bohemian Rhapsody.
Nice, very good.
The Favgarit Hampson.
That's good. That, yeah, made that one work.
Yeah. A Star is Ryan Rayborn.
Okay. Yeah.
And finally, for you, John, for your Miami Marlins, Vicetor Victor Mesa.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nicely done.
That's Vice there at the end.
So you knew what you had to work with this time. You only had eight choices.
Yeah. Very limited.
Yeah.
Very limited. Didn't have the – usually I can I'll take a list and make like 10 or 12 and then – whichever ones don't quite work, I'll just dump them.
This one, you had to make them work, and they were all good.
Had solid. To make it work. Solid stuff.
Very good. Okay, so that wraps up starting nine. Now we're going to move on to extra innings, taking a look outside the world of baseball. And we had some pretty darn amazing football. You called that last weekend, or last week. You said that, the NFC, AFC championship games are always good football. And, boy, those were some pretty amazing games.
Incredible. Both went to overtime.
Yeah, first time ever.
First time ever. Just wonderful. I mean, the bad call in the Rams game, of course, is terrible, and I feel bad for Saints fans, but bad calls happen. It's happened to you as a Raiders fan. No.
I know. Yes, I do.
There are tough breaks. It's part of sports.
Yeah.
But the Patriots game, I felt confident through most of the game. I felt they controlled the game. I really wish that one interception in the end zone that Brady threw was a little sloppy, getting a little like, just lob it up a little higher. You got the tallest guy on the field going back there. You don't need to groove it in.
Right.
But I thought the best story of the whole thing was after the game, Tom Brady went to visit with Pat Mahomes.
Oh, did he?
Which I thought was super cool, just to be like, there's no report about necessarily what they said, or maybe there is, but I didn't see a report of what they actually said.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought that was like a cool move. Like, hey, you were, you assume it's something like you were great and I'm just greater. No, like, encourage him and blah, blah, blah. It was so weird though. You watch the Patriots and they're like, they haven't been to the Super Bowl in a year.
Right. Third year in a row. And they acted like a bunch of children. Tom Brady, I don't think he's ever responded.
Was it five of the last 6 years?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. And Brady's running around
Chiefs
like a child.
The Chiefs have not been in 49 years.
And Brady's reaction at the end of the game was incredible. And he was just so pumped up. There's a relief thing there, I think, because that was such a really, back-and-forth game. What there's like 600 points scored in the last 4 minutes of the game. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It made for
bet
great.
Bet the over in the second half. Whenever a low scoring in the first half, bet the over in the second half.
Yeah.
If you bet and if you have legal access to do so, we're not legally responsible for anyone's gambling addiction.
Yeah, if you're a Patriots fan, you have to be like, let's put together four quarters of defense. That would be helpful.
I mean, the thing is, like, the Chiefs have made their bones all year with, like, deep plays.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time you're just screaming, no deep plays. But that's all that the Chiefs do. And so you kind of just have to hope they don't do more deep plays than you, I guess. I don't know.
But Mahomes, though, one of the things that I love about him is he is has an effortless release of the ball, and he can throw it 70 yards, and it doesn't look like he's trying. You know, like when Aaron Rodgers, you know, throws his Hail Marys that he's really good at, it looks like he's using every ounce of energy in his body to do it. And Mahomes looks like he's just out there flinging a frisbee.
Yeah, but in Aaron Rodgers' defense, he did date Olivia Munn, and she did probably suck the energy out of him.
Well, kudos to him.
No, not in the good way, no. John.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. She probably did do that, though. Also, she likes butt stuff, apparently.
Apparently, yeah. I've heard about that. So but the Rams thing was a big deal. You know that it's a bad call when everybody that's interviewed on the winning team says, "Yeah, we caught a break." Yeah. No one hesitated to be like, "No, we have to play for 60 minutes on the field in overtime, and you know we did what we had to do, and they did." But there, I mean, you know, if you're a Rams fan, you have to be like, "Wow, there was two big plays in that game that we benefited tremendously on. One was the blown. Well, actually, they were both." Blown calls because the interception in overtime, the ball wasn't touched. You know, Breeze's arm was kind of hit, but the ball wasn't touched, and the defender tackled the receiver before he intercepted the ball. It's like, wow, how could we miss two? I mean, pretty blatant pass interference calls in the same
game. Rough.
Yeah, tough.
Well, then the Chiefs did the same thing. The refs. Let the Chiefs defenders get away with quite a few pass interferences.
Yeah, but it goes
but
both
hey, it's
ways.
Okay. It's
it
the Shaq rule. Ways. Gronkowski's big. He deserves to have people hanging on him. No, I totally get that. That makes sense.
There's a penalty on every play in the NFL.
Especially the Chiefs. The Chiefs are like sort of known for that. And so you just have to decide like when are you going to call it. And I say you call it if it affects plays on the field.
Okay, that's a good rule.
That's my rule.
Yeah.
The thing about this matchup I don't like is I think it's the most boring matchup. I would have preferred to see Brady versus Breeze.
That would have been great. Yeah. That would have been.
I would have preferred to see Breeze versus Mahomes. Mm-hmm. I would have preferred to have seen Goff versus Mahomes.
Right. This is your last choice.
This is my last choice, and that's as a Patriots fan. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, as a Patriots fan, it's like, you know what? Let's let someone else have a chance.
Well, my
buddy. Maybe that's why I wasn't stressed out during the game because, like, whatever. We'll just be back next year.
Yeah. It's like you have to, you know, and Brady's been 18 seasons and 9 Super Bowls. That's pretty phenomenal.
It's so crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. That's good.
But he's a cheater because my mom can throw a football further when it's deflated. Was your mom able to throw them more accurately? Is that the experimenting that you did?
It could be.
All right.
Let's get this in scientifically. This sounds like Mythbusters, you know.
So annoying.
Not Mythbusters about Brady, but Mythbusters about the mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could she really throw it?
Yeah. You know what? Let's shame her.
It's all her fault.
That's what everyone's doing now. Oh, you've got some popularity? You know what they call the term? It's called getting milkshake ducked.
Oh, what?
Basically, someone came up with the idea of hey, look, I found a duck that actually can make milkshakes.
Milkshake.
And everyone gets all excited. And then they find out something that the milkshake duck said 5 years ago, and everyone turns against him.
Wow.
And so it becomes like this verb, like, oh, he's going to get milkshake duck now.
Wow. I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, it's a social media term. It basically means like everyone thinks you're great right now until they start looking at your old tweets, look at your old Instagram posts.
Mm-hmm.
They find out something you did in college. It's milkshake duck.
Right. Like Kavanaugh.
Oh, you cured cancer? Okay. Well, I saw you wore a Native American headdress in college. Sorry. You're an enemy of the people now. You can take your cancer cure somewhere else, bigot.
So the whole fire festival, a lot of people don't even know about this thing, but it was a big deal when it happened to all the poor, wealthy people that got stranded. Was it in the Bahamas?
Yes.
Something like that? Yeah.
Here's the thing. I envy the people who don't know anything about the Fire Festival, who get to watch these documentaries and see it all unfold in front of them.
Be like, this couldn't
There's
have
two
happened.
Of them.
This couldn't
it's,
have
it's
happened.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I knew everything that happened, or I would say 75% of everything that happened, and I was still enthralled in it. It's amazing. There's two different documentaries, one on Hulu, one on Netflix. I'm told you can watch both, And they're both, even if you watch, even if you have already seen the other still has entertaining.
So they're both filling in each other's blanks. Yes. So two good stories.
Yes.
Well, definitely.
Just spectacular. Spectacular.
And you've watched both.
I have not seen the Hulu one.
Okay. But the Netflix one was
good. I'm actually thinking of renewing my Hulu membership just so I can watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. Just so I can enjoy. It's a Schadenfreude, right? That's the thing it is, right?
But you see all those people. Yeah, you just enjoy the terrible things. The crash and burn.
Yeah.
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 It's a, you know, it's a train wreck. And people like watching train wrecks. Or especially, afterwards, right? They don't like to see the train actually wreck. But in these films, you get to see the train actually go off of the rails. Like, it starts to wobble a little bit, and then it goes off the rails, and you're like, I think this train's going off the rails. Oh, and then it goes off the rails.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
So something that is, I guess, a Twitter buzz this week was Jeff Bridges saying that there might be a Big Lebowski redo.
So it's unclear what it is. It sounds like it's probably a commercial for something because it's like, ooh, coming up, but it's the date of the Super Bowl. So it probably means, I don't know, it's a commercial for a bowling lanes, Doritos, some sort of white Russian Kahlua
that would be
beverage,
smart.
Or maybe an ice cream, maybe a Big Lebowski Kahlua and cream ice cream.
And there are people going crazy, I'm sure, over that.
Yeah.
Just the idea that, you know.
I mean, it's exciting when you see he's like 20 years older. He's clearly 20 years older. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it brings back all the greatness of that film, which, again, underrated at the time of release, but has since gained huge cult following.
Yeah.
Beyond cult. Like, it's just, I mean, there's a cult aspect to it, too. There's like Lebowski Fest and stuff like that.
Yeah, huge.
But it's just, it's a very well-regarded film now, even though, you know, nothing really happens in the film. It's very like Roma, except not as beautifully shot, but more, I will say, more interesting things happen in the film, even though,
And probably a lot more one-liners in Big Lebowski. Unless you
speak
Spanish.
Not a lot of one-liners in Roma. Yeah, which I don't. I mean, I speak Paquito.
So this last bullet...
This one's just for me, John.
Okay, it's all you. Magic Mike musical. Right. Tell me about it.
It's heading to Broadway. It's making its premiere in Boston. Magic Mike the musical. This is just quality entertainment. First of all, I'm a little annoyed that they just keep turning movies into musicals. Mm-hmm. I feel like, because, you know, we won't have to get into the Hamilton thing. I know you like Hamilton, and I personally can't stand the music, but the concept of it I very much appreciate, but the music just drives me crazy. But
it's fantastic.
Some of these musicals, oh my god, John. But I know there are people out there that truly love it, and I don't want to dismiss anyone's taste for that, because it's just music, right? And people like, I like music that other people don't like, and doesn't make it better necessarily, though it is.
So, but you're looking forward to this?
I'm not sure that Magic... Well, I'm half looking forward to it and the half just sort of like, but what do you do with that film as a musical? Because I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Women
I'm excited,
want to see
but I'm not,
those
I'm,
bodies I'm, live. That's why they're doing it.
Look, but here, don't we already have that? Isn't there already Chippendales? Isn't the whole point of...
Doesn't that have a little bit of a slimy feel to it, though?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Magic Mike.
Well, you know. Well, I wouldn't know. They kicked me out.
What's coming up next?
Let's talk about the players that were really just devastating disappointments to their teams, their fans, and even their families on the next episode of The Hall of Lame.